Thank you for remaining standing for the reading of God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 5 and reading to the end of the book. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Heavenly Father, as we now continue to consider how Paul handed off the ministry to Timothy, and Paul now gives the last recorded words that we know of before he died. And so, Lord, as we consider these, we consider them as some farewell statements that Paul made. Lord, may they be a challenge to those who will continue the work of the ministry, and may they be the strong encouragement to every believer in Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been looking at 2 Timothy and seeing how Paul was handing off this ministry to Timothy. And Paul was killed. Paul was beheaded June 29th of the year 67 AD. Paul was born roughly, we don't know exactly, but roughly the same time as Jesus was born. That means in 67 AD, Paul was likely 67 years old. By the way, I'm 67 years old. Okay? So I feel a bit of kinship with him to an extent here this morning. So we're going to look at five final farewell statements from Paul in 2 Timothy, this last letter written by the Apostle Paul. Statement number one, the fulfillment. He's talking about the fulfillment of his ministry. Paul says to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 5, fulfill your ministry. Fill it up. Bring it to its fulfillment. And Paul says in verse 17, he had done this. He says, the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished. Paul had fulfilled his ministry. When the Lord called Paul as an apostle, Paul was sent. The Lord had prepared him, and Paul was sent to the Gentile nations. Paul says he has accomplished the proclamation of the gospel so that the Gentiles, all the Gentiles, might hear. And a number of times Paul was rescued out of the lion's mouth, probably referring to Satan trying to attack and to get at Paul. But Paul fulfilled his ministry, the ministry of the proclamation of the Word of God. And so may that be, as Paul shared it with Timothy, may that be for each of us as well, that we would fulfill the ministry that the Lord has given to each one of us. So the fulfillment. Statement number two, the fight. the fight. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. Literally, I fought the fight, the good one. The fight that is worthwhile. This isn't Paul just saying, boy, I like to fight. This is Paul saying, I fought a fight that is worthwhile, that is valuable. That's the word good. I fought a fight of eternal value. By the way, fights that are not of eternal value aren't worth fighting. So, if there's a fight, make sure that it's for the things of eternal value. Now, Paul had often, through his 37 or so years of ministry, he had often been involved in this kind of fight. Chapter 4, verses 10 through 12 tell us that Paul was often deserted, and he was often alone. There were times that Paul had to fight alone, that he was deserted in these things. In verses 14 through 16, we read that Paul had an adversary, Alexander the coppersmith, who did Paul much harm. Paul tells Timothy to guard against Alexander because Alexander vigorously opposed the teaching. Paul wasn't fighting Alexander. Paul says concerning Alexander, the Lord will repay him. You know, Paul just lets the Lord fight that battle because Paul wants to fight the good fight, the right fight, which is not the fight against flesh and blood, is it? It's not the fight against people. It's the fight against the invisible rulers in the heavenly places. Satan, demonic forces. So Paul fought the fight, the good fight. And there are times when the ministry is a fight. And there are times when people who have proclaimed loyalty and friendship desert you. That's part of the fight. And Paul had experienced that. And he's telling Timothy, that's what you will be facing as you continue the ministry. The fulfillment, the fight. The third statement, back in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the finish. Paul says in verse 6, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. Paul is speaking of his soon coming. coming death as a drink offering, himself being poured out before God. That's how he viewed his own death. Paul didn't view his death as losing anything. Say, well, I'm going to lose my life. No. Paul looks at it as the pouring out of an offering to God. Paul views his death as an act of worship to God. Being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure, his soon coming death, has come. So he says that the finish is near. He's poured out. That time has come. And he says, I've finished. I have finished the course. Well, Paul is not saying here, I've finished everything, because Paul's still intending to do a few more things before he dies. But he is saying that he has finished the purpose that the Lord had given to him when the Lord called him as an apostle, namely to take the gospel around the world, including to the Gentiles. And Paul had done that. Paul had, you see it in the last chapter of Romans, Paul had gone. He intended to go, and he did go to Spain and to preach the gospel there. He finished his course. In verse 9, Paul says to Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. Now, why would Paul say that to Timothy? Because, Timothy, if you don't come see me soon, you're not going to get to see me. Okay. He was very close to death. Come and see me soon. Make every effort to come soon. In verse 19 through verse 22, we see that Paul is sending greetings from various ones, including in Rome. Paul says to Timothy in verse 21, make every effort to come before winter. Now, it was early in 67 AD when Paul wrote 2 Timothy. By June, Paul had been beheaded. Paul was beheaded before winter got there. So when Paul says, make every effort to come before winter, do you know what? Timothy didn't make it. Paul died before Timothy could get there. This was the finish. Nonetheless, at the finish, Paul was worshiping. Paul was still greeting brothers and sisters in the Lord. Paul was still, you see, in verse 22, grace be with you. He was all about grace. You know, Paul's whole ministry, his whole life was about the Word of God, the person of Jesus Christ, and the grace of God. That's what Paul was about all the way through. And Paul was still preaching grace at the end. Say, well, Paul, we've heard you preach grace all these years. Isn't it about time you moved on to something else? And Paul would say, there is nothing else. There is nothing else. It's all grace. All. So that marked Paul all the way to the finish of his life. Statement number 4. The faith. Chapter 4, verse 7. I have kept the faith. Now, I think you all know this because you've heard me say it many times. When the definite article, the, appears in front of faith, it's talking about the content of faith. The faith is the content of biblical truth. Biblical truth, the deposit of truth, is the faith. Paul says, I've kept that. When he says, I've kept the faith, that doesn't just mean, well, I've kept on believing. Well, of course, Paul did that. But he kept the faith. He guarded, he preserved the biblical teaching. Do you know, every generation must fight for the preservation of biblical truth on its own. Every generation must. It can never be assumed. It must be fought for and defended afresh constantly. Or what will happen? Deception will rob not only the church, but the world of the gospel, of biblical truth. It must constantly be taught over and over and over again, or it will not continue. You can never say, well, we've had enough of that. You can never say we've had enough of that. You must always be fighting to defend the truth. Keep the faith. Paul says, I have kept the faith. Now, this is even very obvious here at the end of Paul's life. In verse 13, we read, Timothy, when you come, I'll bring my cloak. Apparently he forgot his coat somewhere. Timothy, bring that. But also bring the books, especially the parchments, which would have been Paul's own handwritten personal copies of the texts of Scripture. Certainly the Old Testament and maybe some of the other preceding parts of the New Testament. Paul says to Timothy, bring those along. And you want to say, but Paul, you're going to die. He says, okay, but you know what? Until then, I'm going to keep studying. Until then, I'm going to stay in the Word. Until then, I'm going to keep the faith. Until then, I've still got more sermons in me to preach. Say, but Paul, you're dying. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I don't still have something important to do. He's all about the faith. He's all about the Word of God. The faith. And the fifth final farewell statement, chapter 4, verse 8, the future. He says, in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The future. Paul says, in the future, there are four believers future reward crowns. Future reward crowns that will be distributed at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, by Jesus, the judge. And one of those reward crowns is the crown of righteousness. Now, this crown of righteousness is, Paul says he knows it's for him. And Paul also says this crown of righteousness is to all, that's to all believers, who have loved Jesus appearing. Now this is talking about Jesus' future appearing. In 2 Timothy 1:12, we saw Jesus' first appearing at his birth. But here we see his second appearing in the air at the rapture of the church, at the beginning phase of the second coming of Christ. His appearing. Paul is talking about loving Jesus appearing. Paul, who do you love? He would say, Jesus. And what is it that you love about Jesus? The answer is, he is coming in the air for me any moment now. I love that. Paul says there is a reward at the judgment seat of Christ for every believer who lives that way, who loves his appearing. Say, well, yeah, I know Jesus is coming again and he's going to, but you know what? I have a bunch of other things I want to do first, and so I hope his appearing isn't very soon because I hope I can get some other stuff done. Well, you know what? Then you love other things. You don't love his appearing. This reward, the crown of righteousness, is for those who love his appearing. Now, there are other reward crowns mentioned in the New Testament. There's an elder's crown, 1 Peter 5:4. There's the soul winner's crown, 1 Thessalonians 2:18 through 20. There's the sufferer's crown, Revelation 2:10. There's a perseverance crown, James 1:12. There are many, but this one is one that every believer can have. Say, well, what do I have to do to have that crown? Love Jesus appearing. Love it all the time. And that will be rewarded. Now you might want to say, but Paul, you've said the time of your departure has come, that it's at hand, it's near. It seems like you know that you're going to die soon. Paul would say, well, my departure could be by death, or my departure could be by Jesus taking me up in the air to meet with him and see him face to face with glorified eyes. Paul would say, my departure might be, as the saying goes, my departure might be by the undertaker, or it might be by the uppertaker. Either way, Paul says, it's soon. It's coming. Paul knows that when that future departure comes, whichever way it is, chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says, the Lord will rescue me. My departure is a deliverance. It's a rescue from every evil deed that's all around. And he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Paul knew for sure that he would be in heaven, in the heavenly kingdom, whether by physical death or by rapture, he will be in the heavenly kingdom. By the way, if he physically dies and then the rapture comes later, he is, as he is, part of what 1 Thessalonians 4 calls the dead in Christ who rise first. So, in any case, Paul still would get the jump on me, saying, well, how big a jump will he get? A twinkling of an eye's worth. But he'll get a jump on me in that. So he views the future in that way. The Lord rescues him. And this is all. You can see Paul here at the finish of his life saying, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul says, this is not about me. This is about Jesus. This is about Jesus coming. Jesus appearing. This is about Jesus. The glory of God forever and ever. It's about the Lord's greatness. It's about the Lord's glory. It's not about Paul. Remember Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul was in prison then, too, at his first imprisonment. And was he going to die in prison then? Well, he didn't. He was released and then imprisoned again later. But will he be released? Will he die? At that point in time, he wasn't sure. He says, for me to live is what? Having another vacation. For me to live is what? My family. No. He says, for me to live is Christ. That's why I live. Well, Paul, what if you die? To die is what? Gain. Gain. Paul would say to live is Christ. If I get raptured, that's certainly gain. But if I die, that's gain too. Paul says, in Christ I can do nothing but gain. To gain. For the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Christ's first appearing, which you celebrate this Christmas season, having been offered once to bear the sins of many. Jesus was, in a very real sense, born to die. Born to die as the substitutionary sacrifice for your sins, for the sins of many, born to end up on the cross, where he bore the penalty, paid the price for all sin on the cross. Yes. But Jesus was buried. He rose again. He ascended. He has appeared in the throne room of heaven, where he is now to make intercession for you as a believer. And he will, Hebrews 9:28 says, appear a second time for salvation, that is glorification salvation. He will appear a second time so that you will be glorified without reference to sin. Why? Because as a believer, your sin is gone. Your sin has been nailed to the cross. The moment you are raptured, you're glorified, you are completely sinless. Now, you're already, in terms of your justification, sinless before God. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ already. But you will actually, at the moment of your glorification, at the moment of the rapture, you will become incapable of sin forever. You will not be able to think a wrong thought, see a wrong thing, feel a dangerous feeling. You will be glorified. You will not be able to commit a sinful act. Say, well, what? You mean when I'm glorified, I won't have free will anymore to do those things? Really, do you want it? Really, is that what you want? The ability to sin? No. You will be glorified. Your will at that point will be totally free in the will of God the Father. You will be able to think what He thinks, sense what He senses, and you'll be totally free to do that, but you won't be free to sin. That's coming. He's coming without reference to sin. To whom? To those who eagerly await Him. Those who eagerly await Him. See, getting raptured is, I say, well, boy, I sure hope I get raptured soon, because that way I get to escape all the junk that's going on this planet. Okay, but that's not what the rapture is about. The rapture is about Jesus. It's not about escaping this world. It's about seeing Jesus. And once you are with Him in that, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, and so you will always be with the Lord. It's about being with Jesus. It's about Him. It's not about making you more comfortable. It's about you being fully Christ-like. It's about Jesus. Eagerly await Him. Love His appearing. As we prepare for 2022, to live as Christ, to die as gain, eagerly await Him. Some of you know I had thought that I would be pastoring this church when the rapture came. Okay, still got 5 more days. Okay, wouldn't that be exciting? All right. That means you can be prepared for 2022 all you want, but it's not going to happen for you. The moment you're raptured, you'll be eternal, beyond time. I had thought that. Maybe that could still happen in the next 5 days. But you know, even if I'm not the pastor, that doesn't change anything about the rapture coming, does it? That promise is still just as real. Do you know, I have no goodbyes. Really. I have no goodbyes to say to anybody. All I have is see you in the air. No goodbyes. And so I end with what Paul ended with. Verse 22, the Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. Like Paul, hopefully like Paul, I have stressed grace from day one here, and I stress grace all the way to the end. Grace be with you. It's about the Word. It's about the truth. It's about the faith. It's about the glory and greatness of God. And it's about Jesus coming for us very soon. And that's all His grace. Eagerly be looking, loving His appearing. In Jesus' name, amen.